Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Have you ever been up in a scissor lift? If you're not familiar with a scissor lift, this is what I'm talking about. It's a machine that people use to work in high spaces. It's used with maybe it's a place a ladder won't go, or if you need tools because there's a platform up there. We actually have one of these at the church. And it's very useful, it's very helpful, but when I look at a scissor lift, my heart begins to beat really fast because I'm not a huge fan of heights. I wouldn't say I'm like always scared of heights, I'm just more scared of like falling from heights. But as the resident tall person at the church, there's been several times over the life of our church where I've had to get up on a scissor lift, especially when we were mobile. We were in three locations in 4 years, and one of the locations where we were, they actually let us install some stuff in the ceiling. And anyway, we were installing, and there was a place where no one could reach except me, so I had to get up on top of this scissor lift. I actually had to hang over the side of the scissor lift to run some cable. And I'll never forget when I got down off of that scissor lift. I knew I'd been nervous and I'd been reaching, but my legs were exhausted. And I couldn't figure out why. And it wasn't until the next time I had to get up on a lift that I realized what was happening. If you've ever been up in a scissor lift, the platform is very unstable. It sways, it moves, and without realizing it, what had happened was the entire time I had been up on that lift, my legs, my calves, every part of my lower body had been pushing into the bottom of that platform, had been contracting as hard as it could to try to find some stability. My body just naturally didn't like the swaying, it didn't like it, and so I was pushing as hard as I can, just trying to find some stability in that moment, and it was exhausting to me. I didn't even realize it was happening. I bring that up because I think it is a perfect picture for how many of us feel right now. Every conversation we have either begins or ends with, man, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done. And today, what I want to do is I want to talk about one of the reasons why. One of the reasons we are experiencing so much exhaustion in this season and what God has to say about it. And we're going to do this today as we continue our series, End of My Rope, a series we began last week to answer this question. You know, what do we do? How do we walk through this season when we are so tired, when we are so exhausted? We discovered last week that God has an answer. And so if you missed last week, if you weren't with us, I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't already, download our app. It is the best way to stay connected with us right now. And you could go back and you can catch up on last week. Because here's what we discovered. We discovered that not only does God care that we're tired, not only does God want to be there when we are tired, that through Jesus, He actually invites us to come to Him to solve our tired. Because here's what He told us last week. He said, hey, come to me. This is Jesus talking. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me. I know you're tired. I want to help. And this promise is what we sort of built last week on, because here's what we discovered. We discovered when we're tired that we can trust that Jesus is with us today and working on tomorrow. He wants to help us and prepare us and equip us right now. And He also, because He knows the future, He's preparing us for things we don't even know are coming. And He does this through something we learned about last week called a yoke. Here's what He said. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, as we learned last week, the yoke was a tool and is a tool used to allow us to handle more easily what we're currently doing. And it frees us up to do more. And that is what Jesus offers us. And so what we're going to do today and for the next few weeks is we're going to talk about how He does that. What are these tools? What are these gifts that Jesus gives us that will allow us to handle this season better? That will allow us to better carry what we're currently doing? And in fact, what will actually free us up to do more? And that brings me back to the scissor lift. Because as I was thinking about this series, and I was thinking about my own life, and I was thinking about all our lives, it occurred to me that the vast majority of us are essentially living our lives on a scissor lift right now. We are living our lives in search of certainty, in search of assurance and clarity and certainty of what we are doing and where we are moving. Things have never been less in our control than they are right now. Things have changed. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what next week looks like. We don't know what next month looks like. And so that certainty that we all have in our lives is gone, and we're searching for it. While at the same time, we're doing more than we've ever done. It's not like this situation is leading us to just live lives business as usual. We're all doing things we didn't ask to do, we weren't prepared to do, we weren't equipped to do. Most of us did not go into this season saying, you know what I really want to do? I want to become a homeschool principal. Most of us did not go into this season ready to become epidemiologists. We didn't go to school for that, but yet we find ourselves reading articles, talking, having discussions. Are we social distancing enough? How long do you think we should quarantine? These are all discussions that we're having now that we weren't prepared to have. Most of us weren't prepared to completely move our jobs home and to do everything over Zoom meetings and Skype and email. Most of us weren't prepared for quarantining with our families 24/7. Most of us weren't prepared for all these social distancing requirements. Most of us weren't prepared for Netflix binges. And while some of that has been fun and great at times, it even gets exhausting in and of itself. And so while we've been asked to do more than we've ever done, we are walking in less certainty than we've ever had. Of course, we're exhausted. And it's into this moment that Jesus speaks. And what he says is, come to me when you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. And today, he wants to teach us. Today, I believe he wants to provide us with that certainty we've been searching for. He wants to provide us with the stability we need, with that stability we can't currently find. And it comes through a gift he gives us called wisdom. And specifically, the way we're talking about wisdom today, here's what Jesus offers. Jesus offers us the ability to step confidently in the face of uncertainty. Think about it. Isn't that all you want right now? Just a little bit of confidence that you're doing the right thing. A little bit of confidence that you're homeschooling well. A little bit of confidence that you are social distancing enough. A little bit of confidence that you are leading your organization well, leading your family well. A little bit of confidence that the Zoom meetings are working. Just a little bit of confidence to step into what's next for you. It's what you want. It's what I want. And normally, we get that confidence from the metrics we've created in our lives, these little check-ins that we've created that allow us to know if we're doing right or if we're doing wrong. It makes us feel like we are in control. Now, one of the blessings of this season is that it's revealed something Jesus has always known that we have not. We've never been in control. Now it's just been clear. Now we can see it. And Jesus looks at us and he says, I know you desperately want control back. You don't have it and you never have. But guess what? Jesus says, I do. I do have control. And if you will just simply trust me, if you will walk me, if you will let me teach you, I can impart my wisdom into you and I can give you the stability. I can give you the confidence. I can give you the certainty that you're looking for if you'll just trust me. And I know you're asking, I'm asking, okay, that sounds great. How do we get that? How do we get that certainty? And actually, Jesus's little brother, a guy named James, who became a leader in the early church, wrote a letter to Christians to tell them how to follow his big brother. And here's what he says about wisdom. And it's really good news. He says, look, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Now see, this is just perfectly in line with everything Jesus has taught us and everything we know about our Heavenly Father, especially when it comes to rest and trying to find rest in this season. It's always about inviting us into relationship. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, you want wisdom? Come to me. You want wisdom? ask for it, and I will give it to you. And so that leads to a really important question I have to ask myself, and we all have to ask ourselves in this season. Are we asking Jesus for help? Are we asking him for clarity? Are we seeking wisdom from him? And please hear me, that is not a gotcha question. I am as guilty as anyone in times of uncertainty of seeking to find answers myself, of seeking to find answers in experts, of seeking to create my own certainty. And what James is reminding us here, he's saying, hey, guys, that's normal, that's human. James, like anyone could admit this, because for the 3 years Jesus was on earth, James did not believe in his big brother. He did not believe he was the Son of God. It took his big brother dying and coming back to life for James to come to his senses and put his faith in his big brother. And so James isn't judging us. He's reminding us the same. He's reminding us and inviting us to walk the same journey he walked himself. We can look for answers in all these other places, but it's going to be found in Jesus. It's going to be found in coming to him. It's going to be found in taking on his yoke. It's going to be found in letting him teach us. And as we follow him and make use of the tools he's given us, that is where we find freedom. That's where we find rest. And so in this season, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to Jesus? Are we asking him for help? And some of us, we say, yes, I am. I've prayed. I'm reading my Bible. I'm checking all these things. And I still don't have the clarity I need. I still don't have the certainty I need in this moment because I'm getting contradictory answers. I've got some officials telling me to do this. I've got some officials telling me to do that. I've got some people saying it's safe to do this. I've got some people saying it's not safe to do this. I've got some people saying this should be my homeschool schedule. I've got others saying this should be my homeschool schedule. Look, I am seeking wisdom. I just don't know which way is wise. How do we know the difference? When we pray, when we're trying to hear from God, how do we know which way is his way? How do we know the best path forward? It's a phenomenal question. And I want to do my best to answer it for you and for me and for all of us today. But I have to tell you, I can't speak personally right now into what the wise choice is in your situation because I don't exactly know your situation. But what I can do is I can describe wisdom to make it easier for you to recognize the wise choice in any situation. Now, some of you remember this. Before we had cell phones with pictures on them, before we had Facebook, we used to have to do this a lot more often. When strangers were going to meet, when you were going to arrange for somebody to meet someone, we actually had to describe that person. You remember that? We had to talk about how tall they were, how short they were, what their face looked like, what their hair looked like, what they would be wearing. This was a thing we had to do before we had cell phones that could send pictures of each other. We actually had to, describe the people. And so what I want to do today is I want to describe wisdom to you. Because in a lot of ways, wisdom is like a person. It has characteristics. And once we begin to understand the characteristics of God's wisdom, once we begin to understand what it looks like, it'll make it much easier for us to recognize the wise choice in any situation. And Jesus' little brother James, he understood this. And so a few chapters later in this same letter, he's told us to go look for wisdom, and now he tells us what it looks like. And here's what he says. He says, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. Well, of course it is. It's from God. It's perfect. Now, the problem for us on this side of wisdom is that doesn't really help because any choice we make, we think it's the right choice. We think it's the good choice, or we would make it. It's usually sometimes only in the rearview mirror we realize that wasn't the wise choice. So, okay, it's good to know that it's pure and it's from God. We understand that. But what does that look like, James? And here's what he says. He keeps going. He says, not only is it pure, it's also peace-loving, and it's gentle at all times, and it's willing to yield to others. Now, we're starting to get somewhere because what he's saying is that God's wisdom is going to be sacrificial. God's wisdom is going to put other people first. God's wisdom is going to do what's best for everyone. God's wisdom is going to lead to gentle choices. It's going to lead to peaceful choices. It's going to lead to reconciliation and unity. So the picture starts to get a little clearer, but he keeps going. He also says, it is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It's full of mercy, not a little mercy. Like it's so full of mercy, it might spill over. And mercy is when we don't give someone what they deserve. It's when we choose to not seek retribution. And what he's saying is God's wisdom is going to be full of that. It's going to be full of mercy. It's going to be full of good deeds. It's going to be good for everyone. And he keeps describing. And he also says God's mercy is going to show no favoritism. And it's always sincere. You know what that means? That means God's wisdom is the same no matter who you're applying it to. God's wisdom doesn't change whether or not they're on your team or not. God's wisdom doesn't change whether or not you agree with everything anyone's ever said. God's wisdom shows no favoritism, and it is sincere. It is always seeking the best for other people. It's not backhanded. It's not confusing. And so when we start to think about it that way, wisdom becomes pretty easy to recognize. Because here's the list. Let me show you. Wisdom is going to be peaceful, gentle, helpful, consistent, sacrificial, merciful, and impartial. So here's what that means. That means when you find yourself trying to make a decision, trying to find certainty, is this the wise choice? You can ask, well, is it peaceful? Is it gentle? Is this helpful? Is this going to be consistent with what I believe? Is it sacrificial? Does it put other people first? Is it merciful? Is it impartial? Is it fair? Now, I don't know about you, Wellspring, but that brings a lot of clarity to many of the choices we're being asked to make right now. That can bring a lot of peace and a lot of certainty to what we are doing. But I know for some of us, me included, even that list feels overwhelming. Even that list feels like, man, I don't know exactly what the fairest thing is. I don't know what's impartial. I just don't know. There's got to be an easier way. Is there anything clearer? Is there a clearer way to know wisdom than to just simply have this list of characteristics? And the answer is yes. Because I said a minute ago, wisdom was like a person. It had characteristics. And the reason wisdom is like a person is because wisdom is a person. And his name is Jesus. Let's look at this list again. When you look at this list, you know what James is doing? James is describing his big brother. Jesus is peaceful and gentle and helpful and consistent. Jesus is sacrificial. He is merciful. He is impartial. And so what James has done here is he's saying, hey guys, you want wisdom, follow my brother. Become like my brother. Ask the question that became popular when I was in middle school and high school. You want to know what the wise choice is? What would Jesus do? Because what Jesus would do would be the wise thing. Because here's what James is telling us, and this is really where we can move forward today. He's giving us some assurance as we move in life. And what he's telling us is this. He's telling us that to walk with Jesus is to walk in wisdom. That when we walk with him, that when we follow him, that when we listen to what he says, we can be certain we are making the wise choice. We can be certain that we are stepping in certainty because we are walking with him. Now, I know that for some of us, some of the questions we're asking right now aren't necessarily addressed in Scripture. At no point during Jesus' three-year ministry did he tell us how to homeschool. At no point in Jesus' three-year ministry did he tell us how long to quarantine. Did he tell us the proper way to social distance? But he does give us principles and guidelines of loving God and loving other people, of serving other people, of doing what is best for other people that we can apply in this moment. He speaks to us through his word, and we can read that. He speaks to us in prayer. His Holy Spirit can give us direction and instruction. But he actually left us with another gift that sometimes we forget about, but I don't think has ever been more valuable than it is in this season. See, when Jesus left, he entrusted his followers with a mission. He said, go and change the world. And he created an institution to carry out that movement, and it's called the church. We are literally the hands and feet of Jesus now. It is our job as the church to continue to help and equip people to walk with Jesus, to continue to impart his wisdom on the world. And as your church, we at Wellspring are privileged and honored to do that. We believe it is our calling to equip you to know how to walk in wisdom. And we have been doing everything we can in this season to help, and we're going to continue to do that. It is why our Wellspring Kids team has worked so hard to stay engaged during this season, not just with spiritual content, but with practical, helpful content for how we are navigating this season in our homes, how we're navigating this season with our families. We're putting out guidelines. We're putting out best practices that we've all learned, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to roll those out because we want you to have certainty and clarity in this season. We're doing the same thing for Wellspring students. We want to make sure that families are able to navigate this season, how families of high school seniors are able to navigate what's about to happen of missing graduation and how are we going to send them off to college. Well, your church is with you, and we're going to help equip you to do that. We're doing the same thing in our adult ministries, in our small groups, in our community groups. We are hard at work even now at creating groups and getting ready for what's going to happen as we walk out of this season. Because make no mistake, Wellspring, we will walk out. And we will walk out together. And as we do, we as your church think it a privilege to walk with you in that, to help equip you to walk well, to equip you to walk in certainty. See, if there's any gift that has come from this season, I believe it is that maybe for the first time, our eyes have been opened to the fact that we need to attach our confidence to something outside of ourselves. That to have confidence in our circumstances is always shaky. To have confidence in what's going on here and now is always uncertain. Which is why we can attach our confidence and our hope to something that is unchanging. Our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. And as your church, it is our privilege to help connect those dots. But I don't want you to miss that this is what Jesus has been offering us the entire time. All James is doing is recapping something his brother said at the end of the most famous sermon he ever taught. And here's what he said. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. There it is. You want wisdom. You want certainty. You want clarity. Listen to Jesus and follow Him. And when we do, here's what He promises. If you do that, you'll be like a person who builds a house on solid rock. It's literally the image He gives us because He knows the danger of building your certainty on circumstances, on building your certainty on things that are shifting, on building your circumstances on things, on building your confidence on things that can change. He understands that. So that's why He gives us this answer. Hey, just follow me. Just listen to me. And it'll be as if you have built your house on solid ground. And here's the promise. Here's the promise. Though the rain comes in torrents, and it will, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Wellspring, isn't that what we want right now? Don't we just want assurance that what we're doing won't collapse? Don't we just want assurance that we're doing enough at home and we're doing enough at work and we're doing enough to stay safe and we're doing enough to social distance and we're doing enough to care for our neighbors? Are we doing enough? That is the battle we all have. And every metric we've ever had to measure whether or not we are doing enough is gone. And maybe for the first time we're realizing we have never actually knew. And that's where Jesus steps in and says, you're right, you don't know, but I do. And I love you. And I want to walk with you. And I want to teach you. And I want to give you that confidence. I want to empower you to step confidently in the face of uncertainty. Because what is uncertain to you is certain to me. I know what's coming next. And I want to walk with you. So if you're like me, and the uncertainty is exhausting, Jesus gives the answer. And here's what he says. To walk with Jesus is to walk in wisdom. And here's the beauty of that promise. The wisdom Jesus offers, the certainty he offers, is eternal. It's forever. So Wellspring, doesn't that sound better? Doesn't that sound better than the way we measure certainty right now and the measure, better than the way we currently measure our success or failure? What if we chose to put it in the hands of our Savior? Because if we do, here's what we'll find. When we ask him to lay out the path forward, he will lay that out. Now, once he does, we'll come up upon a next struggle. Even when we see the path, where do we find the energy to keep going? That's actually where we'll pick up next week. But for today, if you feel like the ground is shaking, if you feel like the circumstances are shifting, if you feel like all you need is some assurance that you're doing the right things, turn to your heavenly Father. James says, if you need wisdom, ask for it. So this week, how can you turn to Jesus? In prayer, in conversation, how can you turn to him and invite him in to find the clarity you need for this season? And not just to Jesus. How can you turn to his church? How can we help you this week? As I said, we are doing everything we can to push out more information, and we've got great plans for the next few weeks, but we want to hear from you. We love you. We want to help reconnect you with Jesus, connect you to his wisdom, to give you the certainty you need right now. So reach out. Let us know what's going on. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know how we can encourage you and how we can even give you some tips. And please hear me, we do not have all the answers. That's not what I'm saying. But we can help connect you to the wisdom of Jesus. The wisdom that we know allows us to walk on the solid ground we cannot find right now. So if you need certainty, reach for the wisdom that God provides through his Son. Turn to Jesus. Turn to his church. And begin to walk in the certainty that comes from our gracious and loving, eternal Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, we just love you so much. And we are just so thankful for how intimately involved you want to be in every single area of our lives. Father, I pray right now for every person with us this morning, every person struggling, every person that is exhausted. Father, may they in this moment feel the certainty that comes from you. God, may your Spirit assure them they're taking good steps. May your Spirit assure them you are walking with them. Father, may your Spirit direct them back towards you. God, may you give them and us a desire to seek you. May you give us all a desire to turn to our church. And Father, may you use us all to equip everyone who needs it with your wisdom so that we can walk in your certainty to find the rest you've created for us. We love you. And it's in your Son's amazing holy name we pray. Amen.